I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in here on a sunny, winds are picking up a little bit here. We might get storms later, so that's where some of that's coming here on a Friday afternoon.
It got crazy here a couple of minutes ago. I mean, the wind just came out of nowhere.
I keep hearing door slam behind me, which is a freaky sound because it's way in the back of the house. But I have a couple of doors open and door stops there because I want the windows open. And so I keep hearing door slam. Have you put, you didn't put your air on, did you?
I did last night, as a matter of fact. Yeah, it got above 70 in the house. And I was like, it's a little warm in here to sleep.
I thought about it. And there's a pretty good chance I'm going to do it tonight. And the only pain is every window in the house is open. And so just having to go around and close every window in the house. And it's an older house, so some of them stick and stuff like that. I know, first world problem. But yeah, it's. I didn't think I was the only one. All right. Cheap Caribbean had this survey commissioned, done by Talker Research, that gets into the signs you need a vacation, but also gets into the things that you are most likely to forget when you pack and you leave, which I think is interesting.
Oh, fun. Yeah. Because one of the things, one of the top signs that you need a vacation, according to them, is brain fog. So yeah, I guess that even affects you as you're packing and getting ready to go on vacation. That's not when you want to have brain fog.
But what are the things that you usually forget? What are the things that you are most likely to forget? But yeah, so they started with the top signs that you need a vacation. You need the signs. Like, don't we kind of know because we say out loud, I need God.
Gotta get
we
out
usually
of here.
Know that because we hear ourselves say it. But feeling burnt out was number one, followed by daydreaming about a trip, which I do all the time.
I was going to say, is there ever a time when you're not daydreaming about a trip?
Always plotting. Always plotting.
And they said being irritable, getting irritated with others, especially at work, I'm assuming is what they mean. They said feeling fatigued no matter how much sleep you get. I don't know how much. I mean, I never get any sleep. So the feeling fatigued part can always be related to that. And they said having low energy even on the weekends. Just not. And boy, how many of us have been in that situation where it's like, all right, I got a weekend. I can do anything I want. And I kind of just want to sit on the couch.
That's usually how I am on Fridays anymore. I just want Friday night to. No, after about 8 p.m., don't expect me anywhere. Mm-hmm. Don't expect. My phone goes on Do Not Disturb Fridays at 8. And that's pretty standard. Forgetting tasks shows up. Misplacing items. Making mistakes at work is on here. And checking emails even when they're off the clock, which I do 24 hours a day, so it doesn't matter. But those are your signs that if you start doing some of those, you probably need to think about a trip.
Yeah, and when it comes to the stuff that people forget, a lot of it is the obvious stuff. Toiletries come up a lot. For whatever reason, you know, they mentioned toothbrushes or toothpaste, and yes, I've done that before. But the one that I always forget is a hairbrush. And I get out of the shower in the hotel and go, oh, you know, because then you have to drive to the drugstore looking like you have no ability to care for yourself at all.
The thing that I seem to, so I have a list. I have like a template because some of my trips are pretty big. So I have like a template on a Google document.
Nice.
No one should be shocked by this.
Very efficient.
Everything's in a Google document. You print the list off. Once everything is marked out, then you know you have everything. But something I've started to bring with me more in the last couple of years because age sucks is a tennis ball or a lacrosse ball, which is harder.
Yeah.
For your back.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't bring it with me to Belize. And I slept funny whatever that first night. And there's a spot in my left shoulder that will always feel it if that happens. And it's the thing I'm most likely to forget. Is something for my back.
Yeah, I wish I had thought of that too, because on the trip that we took, the plane on the longest leg of the trip just a couple of months ago, just about a month ago, from where did we fly out of? We flew out of Newark, from Newark to Lisbon. Oh, Lord, that was the most uncomfortable plane seat I have ever been in my life.
Yeah, I don't pay for better seats or more legroom.
No.
Ever. I'm too cheap. And I'm short, and that helps.
Right. So, extra legroom for what?
So here are the things that you are most likely to forget. The number one thing is phone charger. There is no way I'm forgetting my phone charger.
No, me either.
I probably bring three of them with me because I might leave one somewhere, I'm more likely to forget the battery pack, the extra, the other
yeah,
battery.
The chargers. Yeah, the external chargers. Yeah, we'll see. With a lot of that stuff, the cables and the chargers and all of that for the phone, that stays in my laptop case. That stays in my laptop case anytime. You know, So I've always got my laptop case on the airplane because I want to watch movies.
I'm always bringing a different bag.
Yeah.
There's just always a different bag that I have with me. Toothbrush and toothpaste is number two. Headphones or earbuds. I've forgotten headphones before multiple times.
Yep.
That's always a thing. Sunglasses, sunscreen, body care products, power adapter, hairbrush, skincare products, and hand sanitizer.
Yeah. The good news is, I mean, most of that stuff is really easy to get a hold of once you get to where you're going. So even if you forget it, and it's not real expensive either. I think the most expensive thing on that list is probably what? Probably the earbuds. And that's going to be $20 even at the airport.
Yeah. I can't think of anything major that I've ever forgotten. Like, I've never forgotten a passport. I've lost it, but I've never forgotten it. Shoes, probably like a decent pair of running shoes or something like that. But if you want to tell us what you are more likely to forget.
Yeah. And this is interesting, too. They said planning a vacation isn't without its own stress. Respondents said they felt worried the most about money or budget. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially if you're taking a big trip, it's going to be expensive. Packing gave 28% of the respondents anxiety. Just the process of packing, probably for that reason. It's like, oh, did I bring everything? Mm-hmm. And then booking hotels is up at 17%.
I have a love-hate relationship with the packing process. Somebody just asked, a good friend of mine just asked, what's your opinion of packing cubes? And that's new to my life, the packing cubes.
I have no idea what that is.
Google it.
Okay.
Because it'll be hard for me to describe it. It's just little bags that are like squares that zip up. And it's a way to divide the stuff in your suitcase. You can take all your socks and put it in one packing cube, or take your outfits and put it in one packing cube.
Okay, yeah.
And the key to that that will give me stress is the Tetris of making that puzzle work in your suitcase, making sure everything fits the right way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see that.
And then trying to get everything back in there the same way on your trip back.
Oh, that never happens. Yeah, in fact, we shipped a box of clothing back. Like dirty clothes. Yeah, it was just like, because we, you know, you go on vacation, you buy stuff, you know, a little bit here and there. And we had both packed our suitcases so, you know, to the brim before we left that putting anything else in there was kind of out of the question. So we were just like, let's get a box and just take the dirty laundry and ship it home. And we did. It worked.
I want someone to steal that box.
Oh, I know. Yeah, really.
You know,
of all things to show up and the porch pirates are like, what is this?
Was it cheaper to ship it than to buy another suitcase and check another
bag? Yes.
Really?
It was not cheap. I mean, it was fairly expensive because it was coming from Europe. But yeah, it was. If you figure, if I had spent $50 on another bag and then $50 on the bag fee,
right,
then it would have put me over the top.
Yeah.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I rarely do laundry when I travel. Mm-hmm. I did it in Thailand because it was cheap, but otherwise I just come back with a big thing of dirty laundry, but I've never sent it to myself.
Yep.
Coming up, the latest thing that Walmart is locking up, because they lock up everything now. And man, this plumber tried to teach a restaurant a lesson when they did not pay their bill. We'll get to that coming up. Next story takes us to Anchorage, Alaska, at least initially. Canned meat like Spam or hash are the latest things that Walmart is putting under lock and key.
Yeah, and I haven't seen this around here. If they are here, it's been a little while since I've been to a Walmart, but one of the things that they show in a short video about this is that not only is the Spam locked up behind locked glass, you know, in the glass cabinets like we've seen with cosmetics and a whole bunch of other things, baby formula for a while, but there's a doorbell. So
Seen that.
Are they here? Okay. Yeah. Cause I haven't seen them yet, but if something is in one of those cabinets, you just walk up and ring the little doorbell and the associate is supposed to come over and then unlock the cabinet for you so you can get Spam.
I rarely go to Walmart, but I went not that long ago because I needed the moisturizer I use. And so I went to Walmart to get that. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was going to be, I knew it was going to be under glass.
Sure.
And it was. And there's a little bell there that you're supposed to push. What's annoying about that is that you're not supposed to just go up to a Walmart associate that you see.
Yeah.
They will tell you to ring the bell. That goes to some system and someone's supposed to show up. I waited 10 minutes and then I said, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Nobody showed.
Well, and that's what a lot of the people that they interviewed for this article were saying is, you know, one said, look, I work retail. So as a retail worker, this annoys me because it's one more thing that I've got to worry about. And as a consumer, it annoys me because it's annoying. I mean, when you started that sentence, I was like, you know, what's annoying about this is everything. Annoying about this.
Yeah, and it's not every Walmart. It doesn't seem to, it's not every store, but I feel like more and more is, I'm not ringing the bell to get nail polish. I'm not doing it. For a $2 item, I am not waiting. And if there's something where I need to look at multiples of a thing, which nail polish I might, like hold it up in the light. Is that a color? I want to take my time when I shop. I don't want to be rushed by some 20-year-old kid that's standing there.
That's a great point. And it's not like they mean to rush you, but you kind of feel like, okay, now I'm not only am I taking my time, I'm taking your time too, because you have to stand here with me while I go through all of this.
Now, maybe they like that because it means they're not off having to do other things.
No.
But I know in the makeup department, there were several of us that were standing there waiting.
Yes.
And for some guy to show up.
And that was one of the most common things that people said is, I'm walking out of any store that does that. I'm not going to call for help. I'm just going to leave.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with it either. I get it. I get why they're doing it, but I hate it.
Let's go to Jeff in Lenexa. If you want in, by the way, 913-586-7798. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Howdy.
Listen, my son and I, we both shop almost everything at Walmart except for produce, and I haven't stepped foot inside of Walmart in over 2 years. I either go pick up the groceries, they shop everything for us, bring it to the car, we put them in our reusable bags, and it works perfectly. And I'm really kind of surprised that Walmart isn't pushing that business model with all the theft that's going on these days.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of the grocery stores are doing it, too. And for the same reason. I mean, it's just it has fewer people inside the store. It's just easier for them to do it that way. So, yeah, Jeff, thanks. I think the only downfall with that, Jamie, like you were saying, is stuff that you want to shop in comparison shop for.
And there's not a lot like that, but sometimes there are. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to pick up the thing and hold it and look at it, and or you're not sure and you want to compare a few. And
how can I trust that person that went around and did the shopping thumped that melon? I can't. So, yeah, no, seriously. I mean, I don't know that they're going to pick the one that I would have picked.
Yeah, that's what people say often is that. And I don't get groceries delivered. I like to grocery shop, so I just go do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I see why that would be the thing you would not have them pick out, because they would just pick the first one they see.
Right.
And so what if the apple has a big bruise in it or, you know, and they're not going to care about stuff like that. So it just is, it's not getting better and it's just moving me online more.
I love this one comment. Who's stealing Spam? Are Vienna sausages and potted meat in there too?
I know you were joking, but this is Alaska where everything is expensive.
Yeah, I know.
And Spam's a pretty good protein source and lasts a really long time.
Sure.
And doesn't need refrigeration. And so,
yeah, tinned meats do make a lot of sense up there. But yeah, it's not really considered by many to be the highest quality.
No. Okay, I love this story out of Evansville, Indiana so much. I saw this one during the show yesterday, and I have questions about what this guy did, whether this is legal for him to do this.
Ooh.
In my mind, I could see why it could be illegal.
So could I. Yeah, I didn't think about
see
that until you said that, but yes.
Okay, so there was a restaurant called the Thai Bistro and Bar. Their kitchen's grease trap started to overflow, so they called a Hevron Plumbing Company to fix the block. So the guy came and he fixed it, and 3 days later it happened again, and Sanders is who they're talking to. Oh, so the restaurant manager said the restaurant called the plumber back. This time they said it's an emergency. So Hevron Plumbing came back for the second job. And when they did that, Sanders, the restaurant manager, said they got a bill for nearly double what they had already paid for the first visit because the plumber, it was overtime at that point. And the restaurant said, you did the exact same work twice, but the second time he was charged nearly double. $235, the second was $390. So the restaurant manager says, I'm not paying the second one. Which, by the way, you don't get to do that.
No, you don't. And the plumber was absolutely perfectly well in the right for that. If you say, okay, this is an emergency, I need you to drop everything and get here now, and I'm working overtime, you better believe you're paying for that.
Yeah, and if you want to be clear on what you're being charged, ask.
Yeah.
I always ask before they come to my house, hey, what's this going to run me? So again, the restaurant did not pay. So there are surveillance cameras up. And after refusing to pay the second bill, the plumber came back and reclogged the pipes. He put a balloon in the grease trap and said he would not remove it until the restaurant pays.
Yeah, there were texts that went back and forth between the two parties that show the restaurant owners were given about an hour to pay their bill before the plumber was going to leave for the weekend. And he said, basically, if we were to leave the balloon in there, it would overflow the restaurant with water and dirty water from the grease trap.
So police were called to come and mediate this. And with officers on the scene, the restaurant finally paid the bill, but they said under protest, whatever.
Pay
under protest all you want. And so the plumber removed the balloon. My question about whether what he did is illegal is that considered, like, take the circumstances out of it.
Right.
You don't get to do this either. Like, even though the guy didn't pay the bill, you don't get to go back. And is that vandalism?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You know, it's to me, that feels illegal. Like, you shouldn't get to do that. If they don't pay their bill, turn them over to collection.
Yeah, right.
Or do something.
Now, as a business owner, that costs you money because, I mean, the collection agency is going to give you pennies on the dollar of what the debt was because they know they're not likely to get it either. So he said, being a small business owner, we don't want this to happen to other customers and clients of his. Yeah, I get it. But again, pay your bill. You don't get to have somebody perform a service for you and then just, that's theft. I mean, or fraud. I mean, depending on which way you look at it. But it's theft of services because you ask him to come out, he gave you the bill, and you just balked.
Yeah, it's like going to a restaurant and saying, nah, you charged me too much. I don't like this. I'm not paying.
That steak wasn't that great. I'm only giving you $5.
Yeah.
I can't do that. But yeah, I mean, think about it in terms of vet bills. If you had the cat for so long, you ever have to make an emergency visit to the vet? Yeah. Like after hours? Oh, yeah. They will pin you to the wall.
It's funny because two of you in a row have asked on the text line, he didn't fix it right the first time. That's why they shouldn't have had to pay the second bill.
Or he did, and they just, they had so much goo, you know, so much grease that it just filled up the trap again.
Right. Either way, they needed him to come back. But so a couple of you have asked, was it not under warranty the second time? It doesn't appear so.
Yeah, maybe not.
You remember that story we did? I think it was last week with the American tourist trying to stiff the cab driver, the horse driver, and he ended up whipping them. Yes. Like, this is the vibe that I'm getting from this. It was just the, you know what, screw you, like, I'm over it.
Yep, that's exactly right.
And people keep saying, isn't the restaurant's point that he didn't do the job in the first place? That's not what they're saying.
Yeah,
they know they're just saying the second time shouldn't have been so much.
Right, the restaurant manager didn't even intimate that. So it sounds like he knows that whatever caused the clog was their issue, not the plumber not doing the job right.
If you want to comment on it, 913-586-7798. Then we'll get to this other one coming up. What this guy put in a coworker's drink that has him charged. We'll get to that coming up. Is this against the law? Should you be able to do this? We have a case of a restaurant that had a stuck grease trap. It was clogged. So they called a plumbing company out. They fixed it. A few days later, it happened again. So they call the plumbing company. It's an emergency. He comes out and he fixes it. And they get two bills, one for the first visit and one for the second visit. And the bill for the second visit was a lot more than the first. And they said, we are not paying this. It's too high. We don't think it should be that high. We're not paying this. And they said, listen, it was overtime. He called us in an emergency. We came out and we did it. So since the restaurant wouldn't pay the bill, the plumber put a balloon into the grease trap and reclogged the pipe. Can't do that. Police were called and he took the balloon out. But if he had left the balloon in, just doing it in the first place, is that illegal?
Let's go to the phones and bring in Ashley, who's calling in from KC. Hi, Ashley.
Hey, guys. Yeah, this is vandalism. And if they would have went ahead and used that trap and it would have damaged the restaurant, then I think he would could have been in some major trouble. It's a very simple process. You file a mechanics lien against the business. And then when they go to renew their business license, they don't get to renew their business license because of the mechanics lien that's been placed against it. I know that you don't get your money right away like that and that it does take time, but doing things the right way is a process. I would not do business with this plumber. I completely understand the emergency charge. Being a delivery driver, if you call us and say, hey, I need this part to Mason City, Iowa, which has happened, one little part, I need it there as quickly as we can get it there, then we're going to charge you double, at least.
Yeah, and you made a great point about the fact that if damage had ensued inside the business, mm-hmm. that the plumber probably would have been on the hook for it. It almost makes you think that maybe what the restaurant owner should have done is let it back up.
I would have, if you want to play petty games, let's go, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, good for the goose, right?
A mechanics lien would have been the way to go and do good business. This is not a good business practice. This plumber, hopefully the word gets spread because he is not a person that he's shady. That's the only way to put it.
It's out there now.
Bye, guys.
You got it. Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks. Somebody just asked, or because I keep coming up with other scenarios like this, and someone said, I used to run a small construction company. We built a 60-by-40-foot pole barn for a guy, and he refused to pay us. So we got the chainsaws out, and he decided to pay us. Can you destroy something you built if they have not paid for it yet?
Oh, wow.
Does that person that had it built own it? It's on their property.
If they haven't paid for it, do
they
own it?
If they haven't paid for it, do they own it? Or can you do whatever you want to it?
Mm. Yeah, because what you wouldn't be able to do is damage anything that was theirs. Like, you couldn't burn the thing down, because you'd damage their lawn and maybe catch their house on fire or whatever. But, yeah, if they haven't paid you for it, even if it's on their property, do you still own it until they make good on the pay? That's a great question. I have no idea.
You could claim it was an accident. I mean,
yeah,
oopsie, chainsaw fell right through the middle of the barn. Would that have been against the law to have done that? I just think it's so interesting because we've never heard of this happening.
No.
Of a plumber going back and saying, I bet you'll pay now.
913.
And they did.
Yep. 913-586-7798. And we have Daryl online from Kansas City. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, so I'm listening to this. I'm the general manager of downtown Hilton property, Kansas City. And we've had that, not the vandalism, but we've had that at our hotel where our grease trap was filled. We called a plumber. They came out. They cleaned it. They drained it. But then within a week, it did the same thing. What surprises me is unless they called a different plumbing company, that this plumber didn't guarantee or warranty his work from the previous week. It surprises me that they got a second bill at all. Grease traps should not fill in a week unless it wasn't drained properly previously.
So you said you've had this happen before where it's filled back up in a week. Did your plumber charge you again, or did they just say, okay, no, this one's on us?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. He came out and they drained it, and they said, we're so sorry. I don't know what the issue was, but they did not charge the second time, except for tools. I think they had to get another pipe and rebuild something.
Yeah.
But the work was not charged, just the tools. And so it surprises me that this company was able to charge coming out a second time in such a short span of time at all. And the balloon thing, that's completely unacceptable, and that there should be a lot of publicity to that plumber for that.
But, oh, there is.
Yeah, good.
Stories all over the place.
Good. That work should be guaranteed by any certified plumbing company, in my opinion. It is with my hotel.
All right, very good. Hey, Daryl, thank you. More information, definitely. Let's try, we've got time. Jeremy is in Kansas City next. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. So what do you make of all of this?
I'm in this kind of industry. I lay pipe for a living in structures that would be called the grease trap. The first part was everybody coming down on the plumber for just trying to get his money. I don't think that's shady practices, because sometimes guys that own mom-pa shops don't have time to wait to do the whole filing system and all that. So I don't know why everybody's wanting to jump against him. Second, I do believe he probably should have been able to clear the clog the first time without having to come back, because generally there's a structure that sits outside of any restaurant or hotel or any building that has any kind of cooking facility where the grease goes into, and then every so often you have to have a company come out, like Ready Services or whatever, and suck out all the grease and all the contaminants out of that box.
Okay.
To prevent the backup.
All right. Yeah. And Jeremy, thanks. I mean, I think the reason why everybody's coming down on the plumber is, yeah, he was just trying to get his money, but you don't get to damage somebody else's property to try to get your money.
This wasn't the way to do it. Yeah. I mean, it's possible that the staff at the restaurant did something they shouldn't have. Maybe they put something down the drain that they shouldn't have put down the drain.
True.
You know, I mean, anything could have happened in that gap of time. But again, it's the fact that they called as an emergency. He gets to charge whatever he wants.
Yep. And that's, and like you said before, if this was going to be a problem, he should have asked him. We'll talk some more about this. Sherry's in KCK and up next with us. Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi there.
Hi. I used to own a upholstery shop and had done some work for a church at one time, and they wouldn't pay me. And so I showed up at the church and tried to take back what we had worked on. They ended up calling the cops, and the cops came. You cannot do that. You have to take them to Smalls Claims Court and get your money that way. You cannot take back the property that you were working on, destroy it, or any of that. It's against the law.
Even if you built it yourself and they never really had possession of it because, you know, they'd be...
We had delivered. What had happened was they ordered certain things, like two wingback chairs to be upholstered, a couple other items, and then they added to the order some more items to be reupholstered. And so when I billed them for everything, and they were like, oh no, that's not what you quoted us. Well, no, you're technically right on that, but you added to the order, which increases the cost of what you owe.
Okay.
And so they didn't want to pay it, and so I started taking the cushions and, you know, the things that we had done for them, and like I said, the cops showed up, and they were like, no, you can't do that. You got to take the small claims court.
All right, there's the answer. Sherry, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Yep, take care.
Thanks, appreciate it. Somebody just said, where did it go, that I built a deck for somebody once, and they wouldn't pay, so we took the stairs away. Like, you'd have to jump down.
Okay.
And I guess that worked. Okay. All right. We're getting more calls. 913-586-7798.
Yeah. How about John in Raytown next? Hey, John.
Hey, good morning or afternoon. In reference to your question, like I said, when it comes to construction, when you construct on a person's property, the best thing to do is go ahead and file the mechanics lien. However, if you are leasing equipment or services to a customer, there's a act called the Replevin Act, which Rent-A-Center and some of the Aaron Rents places use if they have to retrieve their furniture because the customer or homeowner stops paying. That can be utilized, but it has to be in the agreement.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you have to sign when you make the agreement to rent it, or even if you're renting to own. There's something in that contract that says we can come and get this stuff if you don't pay.
Absolutely,
got it.
Absolutely.
All right,
you can't destroy something that you've constructed. That's damaging the property, and like I said, the best course of action is filing the mechanics lien.
Gotcha. All right, dude, John. Thank you. That seems to be the popular answer.
Definitely. All right, we need to get to a break. If you're on hold, get to more of your calls coming up. All right, we're talking about this story where you have a restaurant that had to call a plumber because the grease trap was stuck. It was filled. And so they called a plumber out to clear it out. He did. It was filled again. They had to come back. And then they didn't pay their bill. Plumber was annoyed. Plumber comes back this time and puts a balloon in it. to clog it back up again. Yeah. Police are called. They paid the bill. He took out the balloon.
Knowing what we've been talking about for the last little while, are you a little surprised that the police didn't come down on him?
Yeah.
That's not to say they won't. I mean, they could cite the guy at some point, but I wonder why they didn't say, hey, whoa, you can't do what you just did. We'll go back to it and bring in James, who's calling in from Overland Park. Hey, James. Oh, James. Wait a minute. Let me hit that button. Hey, sorry, gotta have you start over there, James. That was my fault.
Okay, I had a heating and cooling company for 30 years. Did service and commercial, residential, and everything else. The plumber is wrong. Once you leave the project, you can't remove a part or anything and come back and take it. Now, if I'm still there and I gave them a bill and they say, I don't want to pay this, then I can go back out and take the motor back off. But once my truck pulls away, we're gone.
The job's done.
The other thing,
okay,
on warranty. I can't warranty something when there's multiple parts. You know, I can work on your air conditioner and fix it, and I tell the customer, once I shut my truck door, I can't guarantee the thing's going to run. It's 15 years old. Now, I had the other side of a commercial. I did a whole complex, and the person went belly up with all my furnaces and air conditioners in it. I put a lien on the property. Guess what? He's bankrupt. I tried to go out and cut the units off the wall and take them. I got arrested. You can't do that once you install it.
Gotcha. All right, James, thanks. Yeah, and more clarification that you just, once the job is done, it's done, and there's nothing you can do other than follow channels. And if they go broke like that, I mean, in this case, they didn't. I mean, the restaurant was still a going concern. But if they do, then, yeah, unfortunately, you get shafted.
I'm going to bet the plumber knew it, too. I'm going to bet he knew that he couldn't do that.
That he couldn't do it, yeah.
Yeah, which is why he took it out as soon as the guy paid, because he knew. Yep. You can't do that. Okay, WTMJ out of Milwaukee had this story. And just the strange thing that happened here. A guy from Milwaukee is facing a felony charge now. This is a charge that I didn't know existed. Felony placement of foreign objects in edibles is a separate charge. And it's what he's facing for what he put in a coworker's drink.
Yeah, super glue. And what I don't understand about this, and again, I'm not victim blaming. However, according to the criminal complaint, a woman who was working at State Fair Park reported to officers that she noticed a strong chemical smell coming from her open drinks on her desk. It had been happening for the previous 2 to 3 weeks, and once she consumed the drinks, she got extremely sick. Jamie, if you have a strong chemical smell coming from your drink, are you going to drink it?
No. No, I'm not. And if it keeps happening for 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to do a little investigation into why.
Yes. Which
she did.
She did. Yep.
Yeah. She set up a hidden camera to figure out what was happening and eventually captured 34-year-old Joseph Ross adding a substance to her drink. Police investigated, found this guy was not very good at hiding his tracks.
No.
He just threw the plastic gloves in the office trash can and there was a container of super glue. And so they tested the drink and it was the super glue.
Yeah. He's been his cash bond was set for at $10,000. He's due back in court on April 3rd. So, I mean, yeah, he did wrong. Now, this is normally the place where I would kvetch about the fact that they didn't give any kind of motive about why he was doing this.
Yeah.
But honestly, what's going to justify that? You know what I mean? It's like there's nothing that could be happening in some kind of workplace row that would have me going, oh, yeah, well, obviously, then you put super glue in her Coke.
So he did. I'm looking at the complaint. He did admit to doing it. She was drinking Coca-Cola. If that matters. I do want to know why he did it, though. I want to know, were these two fighting? Had they been an item at some point and then broke up? I mean, but it's not in here.
No.
Or to tell me why.
Or was he just a jerk and figured this would be a funny prank? Ha ha, I'll put super glue in her Coke.
I like that in the criminal complaint, they add the Gorilla super glue has a warning to keep out of reach of children due to the harm of ingestion. Why? Why was that necessary to point out?
I don't.
We know you can't eat super glue. Is there anybody who thinks that that's okay?
No. I wouldn't think so. And I also want to know what it did to her. I mean, because of what super glue does, and we know how effective it is on skin, you know, ingesting something like that, how badly did that screw up her stomach?
Especially over the course of 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't consume it once. She kept consuming it. So if it smells bad, whatever it is, don't eat or drink it. If it smells bad, throw it away and stop. Channel 5 reported on this morning. Kansas City Chiefs are going to be the focus of an ESPN original series, a behind the scenes look into their 2024 season. ESPN, Disney Plus, and Skydance Sports are doing a 6-episode docuseries coming up.
And it's going to be on the entire season, what they describe as the extraordinary 2024 season. I do wonder how much it's going to affect how many people are going to watch this based on what happened at the end of the season.
What exactly do you mean?
The fact that they took the drubbing they did in the Super Bowl.
Lost. Yeah. Yeah. Which I don't want to talk anymore about that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they said they're going to spotlight from the brilliance of Patrick Mahomes to the leadership of Andy Reid and the passion of Chiefs Kingdom. I mean, there's a lot to be proud of for the 2024 season. And it was one of those. I mean, that chance for the three-peat and the idea that the Chiefs were, Travis Kelce didn't play his best. He said so, you know, during the entire season and certainly during the Super Bowl. They faced an awful lot of challenges. And like every team, especially every good team, there were defections that took place before the season. You know, people left through free agency or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, to make it back as far as they did was pretty extraordinary.
I almost wonder if it will attract more people, because it was such a bad, unexpected ending at the very end, you know, that we're more curious about a team that didn't do well when they'd done well all season until the very end.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. All right, we'll take a break. Coming up, there is an episode of the TV show Survivor that had contestants and the host in tears. Talk about this and see if you'd know what to do in the situation coming up.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.